Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If Vegas put an odds out there for Freddy the Goat, 12.5 total points on the season, would you bet the over or the under?
Under.
Wow, you didn't even think about that.
No. He had 18. Sorry, Ray. I'm going to give the AHL stats just for context.
He had 18 points in the American Hockey League.
57 games, though. 57. He didn't play all
That's 80, prorated 82. Over 82, like a quality 25-point season.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. And the reason I'm going to – and I wish you guys, like, could we not – like, we – it's pretty clear we like him, right?
Yes.
He's one of our guys.
Yeah,
like,
Freddie.
That's why I hate talking like this, because it sucks. Because last night they had a game that was a layup. That by the time Tavares' tip went into the back of the net, the game was over.
Yes.
Like, there was no chance they were coming back.
Zero.
The GOAT never touched the puck.
Yeah.
To my recollection last night, I can't even remember him making a pass. And the two things that Babcock says all the time that I laugh to myself every time I hear them is Freddie's 6'5" all day long, which means he's in the league because he's tall. And the second one is Ron Hainsey's played 1,000 games, but you know, he's good because he knows where to stand. Those are the two things that Babcock says all the time that crack me up. I'm like, so you mean to tell me Ron Hainsey's had a, whatever it is, 16-year career because he knows where to stand? Geez, I think there's more to it than that, but anyway, it's kind of a funny quote. And I don't know, is he effective or not? Sure, he doesn't get scored on, and so he occupies a few minutes, but I don't know, under 12.5.
All right. Yeah, I guess maybe that's where the safe money is.
Hey, we hope he gets it going here, but what that means...
All right, well, let's go to the opposite or the opposite end of the spectrum here, because there's a lot of positivities with this Leaf team. We were talking about this earlier, Ray, that John Tavares, you sign a 7-year, $11 million contract per year. There's a lot of expectations, and he's the golden boy from Toronto, played in the GTHL, all the accolades in the world. We've been waiting for this forever. So he had all that kind of pressure, all these eyeballs on him, and I think he's exceeded expectations. He's got 11 goals, 11 assists, 22 points in 18 games. He's been exceptional for them. Does that continue? Do you see a 45-goal season, 90-point season for Tavares?
I'm going to say yes, because I think he's going to get a gross number of points on the power play. Although last year, I think he had close to 30 in New York. Right? I want to say he had a big number last year in New York on their power play. I think Josh Bailey's a really good player. He's not Mitch Martin. I think he's going to score more maybe than we might have guessed or might have predicted or had a projection of. I do think, well, I think 40 goals is there for him. I think that's something he can easily get to. When I think of 45, now I'm starting to think of how many guys do it anymore, and the answer is not very many. He's got great hands. He's on a great power play. He's got a good shot. Like, yeah, he could do that, but they're all career numbers for him, right?
Yeah, they would be. And sticking to that logic quickly, like you mentioned Marner, when Matthews comes back, Tavares is the one tapping it in the way Kadri did last night. Like Tavares.
Tap, tap, tap-a-roo. Yeah.
Kadri had the freebie of all freebies because Marner just froze the whole rink. And that's Tavares when Matthews comes back.
Man, so watching Marner, I know, Ray, you and Jamie, you pay attention. We all do to the little things, but just the way Mitch Marner like just cradles that puck and moves it back to Riley, and then it goes down to Tavares, and then over to the way Mitch Marner just cradles the puck and handles the puck and everything he does. It's like it's real deal stuff. It's
well,
incredible.
You know what? Funny you say that, O, because what I noticed last night was not on the first Kadri power play goal, but the second one. Somebody threw it. Might have been Riley.
Threw him a bomb, and he kind of leaned on it and let it go backwards, and then settled it down.
Yeah, it was a grenade, and he turned it into butter.
Yeah,
and I'm like, if that pass came to me, and I think I could play on the power play, but if that pass came to me, I'd have to go chase it after I botched it.
Yeah, and then yell at the guy for sending you a crap pass.
Yeah, he just he leaned forward and he made it like just so such a soft area to recover it from. I was like, oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah.
The first pass he had, I mean, if you were leaning forward on your couch, you would have fallen over too. I mean, it didn't look like that play was, I didn't even see it. And I'm sitting on my couch, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, would you look at that? Thanks a lot.
I'll tell you what, if he can ever learn to, I don't know how much, although I did playing in the NHL because the sticks were different. They went from wood to the one piece.
I know what you're going to say. If he could learn to shoot the puck harder.
If he could rip it under the bar, he's going to get 100 points in the league because everyone knows he's the opposite of Ovechkin, but Ovechkin, where it's like everyone knows what he's doing, and they just keep allowing him to do it. Ovechkin stands there and one-times it, and this guy, they just let him walk in, and if he could ever rip it under the bar.
I talked to a coach the other day that said that, you know, they thought about cutting the ice in half and allowing him basically a partial breakaway to shoot on the goalie and say, we'll take our chances because he passes so well. We got to take the options away, but we'll trust our goalie to at least, you know,
take
stop
him.
9 out of 10, really.
Because just think, like, for, you know, how many years has Ovi been in the league? And how many times is it, you know, it's going there, but nobody seems to be able to stop the play from getting there, let alone the goalie making a save.
Right.
Like it's the same. It's been the same play for 12 years, and boom, here it comes again. Are we going to be talking about Marner like that in 12 years? Like, are we going to be like, holy crap, he does the same thing all the time? But he's going to have to learn at some, or not learn. He's going to have to take a few more shots, I think, anyway, whether his shot improves or not, to keep people a little more honest, just to keep that D back just enough to keep all those lanes open. I think he's going to have to come to that, but, you know, I mean, Nick Backstrom has never really had a great shot or never had the inclination to shoot it a lot. And I think if you look at as time has gone on, you know, Nick moved down to the goal line and they've moved Kuznetsov up there. Because he'll shoot more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the more options you have, the better your power play is. As soon as Matthews gets back, they can fire it from over there. They can, you know, run it through Marner's hands. They've got, I don't know, they got so many options. And that's why that power play is so good, I guess.
Yeah, and why they're off to the start they're off to. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. I'm just reading this on Twitter. Ed Bouchette, who's a longtime scribe, a Steelers scribe down in Pittsburgh, sent out a tweet that I guess he walked into the locker room after media or whatever, and he said that the Steelers players have removed Le'Veon Bell's name over his locker, and then they're now plundering it and dividing up all of his football stuff, his shoes, his gear. Basically, they're saying this guy, we hate this guy now. And it went sour, like it went south quick. Like,
what does the word plundering mean?
To plunder. It means to plunder.
They're robbing it.
They're basically
like they're purging.
Okay, so it doesn't mean they hate the guy. They're probably stealing his crap. Oh, I got a pair of his shoes.
Right, but it's disrespectful, wouldn't you think? I mean, I know that he isn't showing up, and maybe
guys get traded if they like back in the day, if they hadn't taken their music with them, man, guys were stealing that.
So you don't see it as a slight, I guess, is what you're saying.
Well,
I'm asking you guys as athletes.
They're pissed at him for sure. He walked away from their team. I mean, just think, he doesn't want to play for your team so badly. He turned down $14.5 million.
Does that happen in Toronto if Nylander doesn't sign?
I don't know. I don't even think he's got a stall, so no.
I don't even think anybody wants a pair of his gloves either. Like, if it was Ronnie Francis, I'd be like, I hate you, Ronnie, but I'm going to take a pair of your gloves for my collection. I don't think Billy Nye, the wrist shot guy, has done enough for that.
For my trunk. They'll be in the back of the trunk. And
you see, I don't know. I don't think so, Brian, because this thing with Le'Veon Bell has festered for 9 weeks here, and it was pretty contentious. And it doesn't feel that way at all with Nylander. It's not even... I don't know. It's not like anybody doesn't notice, but it doesn't seem like it's a thing. Or if it is, man, they've kept it a lot more quiet than they have in Pittsburgh, because that's been a talking point around their team all year.
Yeah, but there are similarities. Like, Pittsburgh feels like they can win a Super Bowl. The Leafs feel like they can win a Cup. Bell's been there for a while. He's a very prominent piece. So is Nylander. I just think it's human nature for any athlete to be like, really? Okay, if you don't want to be here, like, you're going to take it as a slight. They all say it's business, but the Steelers are proving that you don't look at it that way. You look, right. You know, you look at your own business as business, but the other guys, that's not business.
That's... Yeah, the one difference that I would say stands out that, you know, maybe they'll never get to it. Like, you know, maybe the players will never come to this way of thinking, but maybe they would have done the same thing. But by sitting out this year, Bell changes his entire status. He becomes an unrestricted free agent. So by giving up $14 million this year, he moves into a different status of player, a different classification. Nylander stays in the same classification.
Right.
Nylander sits out, great. Next year, he's a restricted free agent again. He's in the same bucket.
Yeah.
How about Phil Kessel getting jobbed last night from a Gordie Howe hat trick? I thought this was deplorable. Like, guy has a goal and an assist. That was a fight. A glove. At least one glove came off.
They
give him a double minor for roughing. Like, how soft is the league
for wasting
now?
Everyone's time, basically.
I know, but, you know.
I got in one of those with Gary Galley in Buffalo once, and they gave us roughing penalties, and we went to the bench. Like, we thought we were fighting. And we went to the penalty box, and we looked over, and we just started laughing at each other. We're like, Jesus, we couldn't even get a fighting penalty. How bad was that?
Fight of your life. Double minor.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know if we got the double minor. I think we might have just got a minor. That's how bad it was. But we dropped our gloves like we thought we were fighting. Apparently nobody else in the building thought it was a fight.
Ray, I dropped my gloves with Hal Gill and swung at the air three times. And Stu Grimson skated to the penalty box and gave me a bag of ice for my knuckles. I said, oh, thanks, Stu. He goes, hey, and he jumped over the boards to do it. He's like, there you go, bud.
Just, if you take that back one step further, as you were throwing those punches and whiffing, can you imagine how hard the guy started to giggle?
Oh, man.
That was
he started
awesome.
Punching me on the top of my head like a cartoon. Like, he couldn't even punch me in the face. It was like the top of my head.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Love that.
Are you not entertained? No, we're not. That was brutal. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
What did you make of the Pittsburgh Kings trade from earlier today? Carl Hagelin going from Pittsburgh to L.A. for Tanner Pearson.
To me, that is step one of a complete gut of their roster. Pearson's got 2 years left on his deal. Hagelin's unrestricted free agent. Yeah, they want to get faster, but now they've moved those 2 years off the books from a player who's not a very good skater, not very fast. And who's really had trouble scoring. But to me, I think we may see as many as they can pull off type of trades like this.
They should, too.
Yeah, absolutely. The roster's wrong. It's not going to work. Doesn't matter who's coaching it. It's got to change.
And don't you think, Ray, as long as you're honest with the fans and say, you know what, this isn't good enough right now, and we're going to make some changes to get younger and faster, and this is going to be a process. But if you try to bluff them and say, we get our goalie back, and we'll be back in cup. It's not the case. It's not even close.
Well, they made the playoffs last year, had a great rebound year.
And they didn't touch the puck in the playoffs.
No, never touched it. No. What got swept right out. The problem I see in L.A. is the contracts that have been given out, some of them were prior to Rob Blake and some that Rob has handed out, is, you got Kopitar, who's not a great skater on a long deal. Dustin Brown still got left over from the contract he signed with Lombardi, as does Jeff Carter. And then they signed Kovalchuk. So it's 2-2, really, from Blake and not from Blake. But those four guys don't move very well. Carter's probably the best skater of them all, but none of them are young. None of them move very well. And that's a third of your forwards. So if those guys are going to be there, which they are, the rest of the guys, they've got to move. And if they can't move, then you're sunk. You're just too slow. Like, even the way they play, guys, I don't know if it struck anybody, but I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my God, they're playing a style of game that you used to play. They come up all tight together, like five guys up together. Nobody stretches the ice. So the Leaf defensemen stood up at the red line the whole game. Yeah. Like, they, even when they scored, Toronto scored what to make it, or I'm sorry, LA scored to make it 2-1. Did you even think the game was in danger?
No.
Not even
close.
Not
a chance. And that had to be really eye-opening for them. You know, not that it could have been too big a surprise, but that had to be eye-opening to them, certainly about the way their team is, but also about the style of play. Like, that play, that style is dead. It is. They're playing like they're still a red line. Like, stretch the ice, make the defense back up, do those goofy slap passes and chase it down. Like, they didn't even get... Did Freddie Anderson even make a good save last night?
Yeah, he made a couple, but they weren't, like, overly complicated. But in what you're saying, Ray, I appreciate one thing Mike Babcock said a couple weeks ago. He was like, they were questioning the flip pass and flipping it out and the stretch pass. He's like, you want to come up as five, there's no ice. There's nowhere to go. The ice is behind the defenders. So
yeah,
get it behind them somehow and go get it.
Well, if people don't understand, just get to the last half of the second period last night and just watch it. And you'll go, oh, my God, there's nowhere to go. And could they come up any slower?
Oh, I know.
Like, and disorganized.
Oof.
That was the one thing that stood out for me.
Like, this is going to be a long year. We're talking about who's going to have a chance for Jack Hughes. Well, guess who's going to be in that mix?
Yep, they're in it. Whether they want to be or not, by osmosis, yep, they're in it. All right, Ray, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.